Hey, Bill and Gunnan, welcome to Black Law Trial Edition. Murumu here with you as we broadcast right across the world. Thanks to our friends at Bumma Bipra Media 98.7 FM. And if you're listening outside of the Yidinji Territory, it's via NERS, the National Indigenous Radio Service. And wherever we're going, we're thanking you for letting us use your spectrum to travel and send this message. We've got Ganyara and Yurulum here today. Bumi is doing some interesting charity work in and around the city of Ghimoy this week. If you see him, say hello, and he'll be happy to have a yarn with you, I guess. And we're going to talk a little bit about, some of the things that are happening in the digital sphere with the Yidinji Nation, but also take a quick look at Jacinta Price and, why she didn't get the deputy leadership of that particular party, the coalition. That is, here's some Sky News material for you to have some background briefing if you haven't heard it already.
Let me bring you back to the desk, though, now, and introduce my guest for the evening, and that is Jacinta Nabajimba-Price, joining me here in the studio. Good to see you, Jacinta.
Good to see you, too.
Tell us first up why you withdrew from the deputy leaders contest today.
Sure. Well, I declared that I was running on a leadership ticket with Angus Taylor, and I had made my mind up prior to that if Angus was unsuccessful, that I would allow. I knew that Ted wanted to run for the deputy leadership, that I wouldn't contest that and withdraw from that point onward.
Why do you think your ticket with Angus Taylor and yourself failed?
Oh, look, there's many probably reasons why it failed. I guess I can reflect on that, or I can look at the fact that we've got to move forward as a party, as a coalition, in fact. And there's a lot of work that needs to be, needs to occur to rebuild. And, I absolutely respect the outcome of what the party room decided. And of course, my concern is the state of the country under three more years of Labor, and I think that's where we can all say we all are on a unity ticket with that.
Was this a contest between the Conservatives and the moderates in the party room? Was it that clear cut?
Look, there was probably an element of that. I think there was different approaches to how we would take things, depending on what the leadership was going to be. And I think it's going to now provide an opportunity for robust debate in the party room, which probably we didn't have so much of before under Peter. So going forward, that provides that opportunity. I know that there's probably many on, throughout the party room that are prepared to have good, robust debate within our party room.
Susan Lee said some generous things about you in her press conference. What's your view of her leadership, and are you prepared to serve in her ministry? Shadow ministry.
Susan Lee welcomed me into the party room. She's got a huge job ahead of her, obviously. I don't envy that. It is going to be a huge job to build from there. And, I will look at what opportunities come or don't come. But ultimately, it's about ensuring that we hold Labor to account in the next 3 years. You know, for me, I've always fought for particularly some of the most marginalised, out of sight, out of mind. If we look at the election, I don't think there's such a huge divide now between remote communities and particularly our major cities. And you can see that from what we just saw with the Abby Chatfields of the world, who are completely and utterly removed. It's important that I ensure that their lives are front and centre as well.
Would you want to be Shadow Minister for Indigenous Australians? Or given the fact that you had a quasi-economic role in looking for government efficiency, would you be looking to go to a more mainstream portfolio, an economic portfolio? What's your aspiration?
Yeah, look, I mean, those things are all to be considered, I guess. I'm not sort of focused on any particular, way forward other than to say that it is absolutely about rebuilding the party, fighting together against the enemy, which we know is Labor and the left, and also working with our National Party colleagues, most certainly.
Now, Angus Taylor, should he stay on the front bench, and would you be encouraging him to stick around as Shadow Treasurer if Ted O'Brien doesn't want that job?
Yeah, look, I think Angus has got a lot to offer. Absolutely. I would expect that he would be on the front bench, definitely. Plenty to offer, plenty to give. You know, he's got a wealth of experience and knowledge, and I would hate to see him, you know, relegated to the back bench.
Will climate policy and net zero and nuclear energy be a flashpoint at the first coalition policy forum when you revise your policies, both the Liberal Party and the Nationals, or do you think you can stick with something roughly equated to what you took to the election?
Look, I think definitely. I think there's going to be some robust debate around energy, around nuclear. I think there are those of us who are absolutely of the view that we need to stick to nuclear. It's the cleanest, greenest energy that we have. Obviously, we're now being put many years behind that, but we need to be smart in terms of our energy as well.
Does that mean sticking to net zero? Because of the whole basis for going nuclear is to get to net zero.
Yeah, look, I think we need to have all of those conversations on the table as part of a party room conversation.
Will the party unify now behind Susan Lee?
Well, I guess that is the hope. I mean, ultimately, like I said, you know, I'll be supporting, you know, the leadership, obviously, because that's what we have to do if we want to do a good job in opposition.
Do you regret leaving the Nationals party room? Perhaps you would be the deputy leader of the Nationals now if you'd stuck around.
I don't regret that at all. I wanted to become a Liberal Party member when I was very first elected, and there were blocks in the way at that point. I was new to the game, but I absolutely feel like I am in my home.
Will you stay in the Senate? Is that your home, or will you look for opportunities to get to the lower house at some stage?
Yeah, look, you know, the Senate is where the biggest battles are going to be fought right now, and I'm geared up for those battles and to support the coalition from the Senate, absolutely.
Never switching to the lower house?
Look, the Senate is where I'm focused.
Well, David Littleproud was talking about the Nationals not being able to give you the sort of the ambitions that you might have. I mean, you can get to the top of the Nationals and be Deputy Prime Minister. The only job higher than that is Prime Minister. And to be Prime Minister, of course, you'd need to go to the lower house.
Well, there is that, you know, and I know there's a lot of Australians who'd love to see that, but right now, as I said, you know, my focus is the Senate.
Yeah, welcome back. Gagnara, I think it's pretty interesting that she was seen as the golden girl or the saviour of the Liberal Party, and I think that's Andrew Bolt's words, by the way. But for some reason, Australia wasn't ready for that. And put their trust in Albanese or majority of the voters or the preferences or whatever system they've got. Really, it wasn't their time, wasn't her time. But ultimately, it'll be interesting to see what Labor does and whether they're going to somehow resurrect the voice in a different format or not.
Yeah, look, Jacinda had her agenda, and this is how the politics in Australia plays out. The democracies of the world, this is how it all plays out. If you don't think you've got the votes, you don't go and run for it, you know. So Jacinda, I think she realised that the numbers were against her. So she said, thank you but no thanks. I'll decline the offer and I'll wait for next lap round and then I'll nominate for the... actually, someone said to me the other day she might nominate she'd be a perfect Prime Minister, first female or first Prime Minister of Indigenous heritage. I thought, wow, that's a rather bizarre statement, you know. It's quite powering. So she might, you know, she might have a bigger game, a long game to be playing than rather this little short right now today type stuff. So she might be positioning herself for a bigger win, I suppose, later on. But she got every right to do that as you know, an Australian citizen, the holder of the Australian citizen. She got every right to do that and play the game. You know, it's something that most people don't realise, but it's really a two-party game that they're all playing.